to your seats. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You can take your seats. I've been a bit tense all day, and I was like, I felt like a personal icebreaker, and then I really got a real craving for it when I seen Sister Toyin's t-shirt to do a crowd surf, and I thought, maybe not. I just got up in my head when I was sitting there that I could just run, do a flip right over the crowd and land. But then I thought, that's just fantasy, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to thank Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky, Pastor Kevin and the leadership team for the opportunity to minister the word tonight. Again, I don't take it lightly to stand behind the pulpit and just bring God's word and just bring so many meditations I believe he's placed upon my heart. I just pray that you prepare your heart to receive something tonight. Amen. I believe that the foundation's already been set through praise, through worship, through the announcements. It's always something that I do at the beginning of a day before that I even come to service is I pray that God would speak even before the word is brought through the coming to church, through the prayer, through the worship, through the tithes, through the offering, through the announcements, even before the word's even brought, that there'll be a revelation, that there'll be a confirmation of something that God's speaking to me as an individual. And I pray that would become something that you would maybe, want to partake of, because God does speak. And it's about us preparing our hearts for what it is he wants to speak. Amen. I was going to pray. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, I just thank you for this time. And Lord, I just thank you that I have an opportunity, Lord, again to minister. Father, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to come, to move in this sanctuary, to move through me, Lord, so that, Father, you can move through others. I pray that, Father, you would just touch someone's heart tonight, touch someone's life, and that, Father, they would respond to you, my God. Let faith arise in this place, that you be the chief cornerstone, Lord, that you be our hope, that you be our banner hope, Lord, that you be the one that would renew our strength and take us to higher heights, Lord. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, because how many know it's character month? And I think we're going to hear a lot of this one. But it reads, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, we also glory in tribulations. Thank you, Jesus. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. And let me just get my notes. When you're getting ready to preach or teach, most times we run for the dictionary to find out the meaning of the word that we're going to be, or the topic we're going to be speaking of. So I thought I'll be bold today and go for the thesaurus. Never mind the bold Webster's dictionary or the normal English dictionary or the Scottish dictionary or whatever. I went for the bold thesaurus, amen, and you've got to try it. And let me keep my eye on the time, glory to God. And it broke down three characteristics of the word character. And the first one was nature. The nature of character is like your attributes, your caliber, your personality, your temperament, the qualities in which you have. The second one was your reputation, meaning honour, integrity, and the strength. And the third one was role, the part you play or the portrayal, the thing that you're a part of. And I believe that your character is what comes out of you when your buttons are pressed, or when you go through hard times, or when challenges come, or when you're being challenged to go to a new place within yourself. It's not always bad. It can be a good thing when you're moving on, maybe to a new place, maybe to a new home or a new job or something, you know what I mean? But most times our character is defined when challenge or change comes. Sometimes when our buttons are pushed, that's when we see the real personality come through, or the real temperament kick in. Sometimes you've got to think about your reputation. When you walk into a building or a room, what people's perception of you is, I mean, do they honour you? Do they welcome you? Do they know you as a man or a woman of integrity? Do they know you as a person of strength? Have you got calibre? I mean, are you a person that's uprighteous? Are you someone that's right standing, I mean, before men and women? Do you know what I mean? That people can say, yeah, this guy or this woman plays their part. This person, I mean, what he says and how he walks and how he talks is really what he's portraying. He's portraying this way, he's portraying this manner, this swagger, I mean? But when his buttons or when your buttons are pushed, is this what's really coming forth, your character? In verse 3 of Romans 5, it says, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. The word perseverance means endurance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. That word character means like a proved character. Do we have a proved character? Are we a people that have been tried and tested, that have got that approved character, that were standing strong? That in the book of James chapter 1 verse 2 it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. Count it all joy. Do we take on the Nehemiah mindset of the joy of the Lord is our strength when we fall into trials and when we fall into temptations? Sometimes I can put my hand up, I don't always find it joy. I don't find it joy when I'm waging warfare. Amen. When warfare comes, when Paul told Timothy, stand firm, stand strong in the grace, wage the good warfare. That means to us, if it's in the Bible, then we're going to experience that same warfare. We're going to experience those same trials and temptations that they faced in the Bible. We're going to face the same tribulation. I mean, you just got to look around, you just got to walk on the street, you just got to drive in your car across the street. Tribulation is out there. Temptation is before us. Proverbs 13 verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. What makes your heart sick? If you ask the question, what makes your heart sick? The things that you desire, the wants, the desires that you've placed before God, the things that you're committing to Him, the fleeces you're putting forth, and you're waiting and waiting and waiting on God to come through. Do you know what I mean? You're in there, he's asking you to count it all joy. There's trials and there's temptations and there's tribulations coming. But the deferred sentence, that's what it's like. If anybody's been involved in the court system, do you know what I mean? You get a charge and then there's a deferred sentence. Do you know what I mean? There's a period of waiting to see if you're going to be found approved of good behavior or character. And the charge might be a heavy charge, but over a time and a period, it's lessened in a sense. And when you go up for sentencing, that's when the judge will say, well done. Do you mean you're not going to be put to jail? You're not going to get the heavy fine you were intending to get. But this is what I believe the law wants to speak about. Just laying a foundation. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3. At the start of the chapter 3 it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Having begun in the spirit, and now been made perfect by the flesh. And as I've been praying and that, having begun in the spirit, having begun in the foundational level of prayer and devotion, of worship, of Bible study, going to small groups and fellowships and being excited and that encounter experience with God at salvation, that moment where it was by faith, that you believed in Christ, that your life was changed. It was through a testimony of a friend or someone that reached out to you on the street that welcomed you to church or shared the good news of what Jesus Christ had done in their life. Oh, foolish Galatian or Galatians, who has bewitched you? Having the faith that you first started off with, having the heart's desire to go after God, having the urgency to seek more of Him. And all of us had a starting point. All of us had a starting point where we are coming to, for me personally, coming to Christ with no boundaries, with no restrictions, almost like an untrained bull, you know what I mean, coming in messed up, you know what I mean, with no disciplines. But learning how to cry out to God from a home, I mean, from the men's home, from a living room, the basics of just crying out to God, not knowing the how great Thou art, but God, save me, change me, do something in my life. The very foundational things of learning how to pray and devote and sacrifice and worship and, do you know what I mean, all these things. But now, being made perfect by the flesh. And when I was reading that and I was praying, it was like the Lord was saying, now being made perfect by faking it. Having an outward appearance, but inwardly dying or dead. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, saying having a form of godliness, but denying its power. I don't know about you, but I know for me that I don't want to have a form of godliness, but I'm having no power within. Pastor Paul said something deep a couple of weeks ago at Vetti. He said, you might look at this appearance now, this body, this nose, and all this stuff, but if you unzip me, you'd bow down before me. It was like, wow, that's a deep statement. But you know what I mean? He was trying to bring the simple revelation of the spirit man within him. Amen. Because sometimes we look at the clothing or the hair color or the style or the outward manifestations, the exterior stuff, when there's no power, you're faking it. Some people say, I'm faking it till God comes through, but really you're faking it because you still want to be a part of the crowd. You still want to be involved with leaders. You still want to be at the conference and bossing it with the pastor or walking and getting free tea and coffee and all that stuff. But inside, you're really scared, you're dead, you're dying, there's no power, there's no faith, there's no anointing. Faking it, having an outward appearance, but inwardly dying or dead. God is calling us to have courage. God knows where we're at. God knows each one of us. He knows inwardly where we're at. He knows the trials. He knows the temptations. He knows our mountains. He knows the path and the journey we're on. He knows the falling in our flesh. He knows our Achilles heel. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the willingness to strap on your fear. Strap it on and move forward. Now, I mean, don't be limited. Don't put limits on God or what God wants to do in this season. God wants to take us forward. He wants to take us to new levels in Him. He wants to take us far and beyond our limitations, far and beyond what we can even see physically in this building or the building to come. He wants to see Manchester taken for His honour and glory. He wants to see this generation rise up. He wants to see us as people here tonight impact this generation. To strap on the fear, to take us forward, where we lack courage, but do it anyway. In Psalm chapter 30 and verse 6, there was something that happened last night, and we left Vetti and we were returning home. And where we live in Salford, the men's and the women's home, there's a lot of kids at the end of the street. And there was a few youth playing. There was about three balls getting kicked all over the place. And there was all these youth scattered on the road and stuff. And these youth ain't playing. You think it's just gangsters and drug dealers and wannabes and all this and that. But these kids are dangerous. Amen. Yeah. When you ain't watching, they boot a ball off the back of your head. You know they're dangerous. But these kids are fearless, amen. And I know that my wife, she wears glasses, and sometimes when objects go by, side gates and that, she gets a bit disorientated. And this scripture, but I was reading it in the week, and Mark did something last night that really sort of brought it forward. And there was a choice to, when we got there, I say, listen, ladies, get ready, these kids are here, because normally sometimes we get dropped off at the end and we walk around through them. But Mark did an army manoeuvre on them, and he drove carefully and calmly straight through them with the strength. We were in the chariot, amen, and he turned us through to the other side, and we got there safely. There was a few curses and a few verbals from the windows, but lucky we weren't in Iraq or Pakistan where they might have got bricked or stoned, amen. But these are tactics that the man of God has learned from his army days, amen. But it led me to this. I'll read the scripture, then I'm going to go to it. It says, now in my prosperity, in Psalm chapter 30, verse 6, now in my prosperity, I shall never be moved, shaken. The word prosperity here in this verse meant careless ease or carefree attitude or a self-assurance because things are going so well. Now, have you ever been in a place where things are going so well that you neglect the disciplines, that you neglect your prayer life or worship or your devotion to God, that, amen, that you're prospering, that things your hands are turning to, you're being blessed, and doors are opening and opportunities are happening, whether it be in a workplace or ministry or position? There can be that carefree attitude, that self-assurance, because things are going so well, that you say, I shall never be moved. I shall never be shaken. Self there. But I believe God wants to turn that around for us to take that there and claim it for good. That we can say, as my soul prospers in God, the one that I trust in, the one that's going to see me through this season, the one that I can stand before this mountain and say, be moved in Jesus' name, is the one that will cause me never to be moved or shaken. In Psalm chapter 33, verse 16 to 17, it says, no king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety, and neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. In Psalm 20, verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And it was when we were sitting in that van last night and that chariot went through those kids that this was really brought home. That we could have got out and trusted in God and walked through those kids, taking all those balls on board, having a few key puppies and headers on the way by, but that chariot went through. When you think of a battle or a war movie or a war scene, what they used to do in the old days, in the Old Testament especially, when the Egyptians were chasing the children of Israel, when they were about to cross over, they sent the chariots after them with the archers and the bows and arrows. Because the horse was their strength. They sent the horses in first to try and take as many out before they sent the infantry in. That's what it felt like last night. That we just went boom, straight through. They divided and boom, we were in a place of safety. Brilliant. Troy, they built that horse, didn't they? To go, boom. What do they call that thing on the internet, the Trojan? Yeah, the Trojan horse. They call that thing a mighty virus on the internet because you don't know what's in it. Amen? When that horse is coming at you from the enemy, you don't know what's carrying. Do you know what I mean? To take you out. Yesterday's tactic ain't today's tactic, and I'm sure if you get to tomorrow, it won't be the same either. But know this, know your Achilles heel. Know what it is that's your weakness. Superman had weakness. We've all got weakness. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. And I believe God is calling us. He's calling you and I out to answer the calling to endure and to persevere and to take courage, to take heart. That we're all being challenged to go to a new place. Every one of us, even Pastor Paul, Sister Vicky, the leadership team, right through the church, every single person, whether you're a leader or a follower, is being challenged to endure hardship, to persevere, to take courage, to take heart. Take a breath. Have a saline moment. Ponder. Just right now, just wherever you are, you know what I mean? Ponder what you're going through, the path before you, the mountain, the obstacles, the thorn on your flesh. Because know this, God knows that you have need of endurance. God Almighty knows that you and I have need of endurance. That no matter what mountaintop we're on or what valley of decision we're in, God knows that we need endurance to live out both of these items. Let's stand, amen. And just as Psalm 28 and verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And I just want to just close your eyes for a minute. I'm just going to read out some of these scriptures that I believe the Lord gave me. There was many more, but it would take me months to write them all out. Amen. The promises of God are yes and amen. He is faithful. He is faithful and he is true. And the first scripture, being confident of this very thing, that he who began and has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 reads, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Isaiah 43 and verse 2, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 31. These are just some of the promises of God. These are just some of God's word that you and I need to remind ourselves of what God has written in this Bible for us so that we can take courage, so that we can feed ourselves. And these are some of the basic scriptures. These aren't even the ones that you go searching for. These are the ones that jump out. These are the most common ones that when people are praying for you and fellowshipping with you that come out. I'm sure no one in here hasn't heard these ones. That's why it's good to remind ourselves to get in the Word. No matter what the enemy's telling us, get back in the Word. Get back to the foundation. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Beginning in the Spirit and being completed in the flesh. Let it not be us. Let it not be known that our character was found to have fingers pointed at us, that yeah, they look good, yeah, they talk good, but there was no substance. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for your word, Lord, and I just pray that your word would just settle on the hearts of your people, Lord. Father, as we move on now, Father God, that Father, you by your Holy Spirit, you would continue to minister to us as Mark comes now. Father, anoint him, bless him. Father, just thank you in Jesus' name.